Hello and welcome back to Neely Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. We're so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely Bend. In this final sermon from our sermon series on the mission of Neely Bend Baptist Church, we see that we are to be a church that lives on mission by making disciples. In this sermon, we see three elements of making disciples or living on mission, and that is ultimately that we are commanded to live on mission. We are given the power to live on mission, and we are ambassadors for Christ that live on mission. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a blessed week.
If you have your Bibles with you today, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We're going to continue working through our mission statement here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church and just continuing to see what the mission of Neely's Bend Baptist Church is. And so in this final sermon through the series of the mission statement, it's going to be about living on mission by making disciples in Neely's Bend, Madison, and beyond. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to come here and worship this morning and sing praises to you, Lord. Lord God, we thank you for being able to gather and just sit in Sunday school and learn more about your word and more about your truths, Lord. Lord God, I pray that today as we learn about how to live on mission, Lord, that you will help us to live on mission as a church, Lord. Lord God, we thank you so much for Jesus and what he did on the cross for us, Lord. How he came and he gave his life so we could have eternal life in heaven, Lord. Lord God, I pray today that you just help me to preach your word and preach your truth and your truth alone, Lord. And God, I just pray that you help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion. And God, if there's one here today that doesn't know you as Savior and Lord yet, I pray that today is the day that they see their need for you and they believe and they confess your name, Lord. Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. The church that does not evangelize will fossilize. This is a quote that I read earlier this week. The church that does not evangelize will fossilize. I think this speaks volumes, and I hope it speaks volumes to us as a church. Evangelism, the sharing of our faith, is crucial to the life of a church. And if we don't evangelize, just as the quote says, we will fossilize. We will become a church that ceases to exist. And I'd wager to say that every single one of us here today does not want this church to fossilize. We want this church to live and thrive for the kingdom of God. And the way in which we do this is ultimately by living on mission, by making disciples. Our sermon today is the last of the series of sermons we're working through for our mission statement. And we're going to be seeing that we live on mission by making disciples. As I've said, the mission statement that we have prepared and have created, it sets a goal in front of us. It sets us something to aim for, something to move toward, something to try and to accomplish. The mission statement gives us a sense of purpose for why we exist here in Neely's Bend. Why does God have us here? He has us here to accomplish his mission, to make his name known. So let's take a moment and let's just read through our mission statement together. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. Neely's Bend Baptist Church exists to glorify God by equipping people with the gospel of Jesus, to live in worship of God, in one another fellowship, and on mission by making disciples in Neely's Bend, Madison, and beyond. I want to continue to encourage you to familiarize yourself with this statement. Become very well acquainted with this statement. It is important for you to know this because as a church, it will continue to help us move forward to being a healthier church, to proclaiming the gospel, to making God's glory known amongst others. So let's go back to our prior sermons. In the first sermon of this series, we learned that we exist to glorify God. We exist to glorify God. Everything we do as a church should ultimately bring glory to God. In the second sermon, we learned that we exist to equip people with the gospel. We exist to equip people with the gospel. We equip those who are unbelievers with the gospel so they can believe and have faith and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we equip those who are believers with the gospel so they can continue to grow in spiritual maturity. In the third sermon, we learned that we live in worship. We live in worship of God. We worship God with our lips, and we worship God through service and how we live our lives by serving God and serving others. In the fourth sermon, last week, we learned that we live in one another fellowship. That we should initially be a member of the fellowship of God and having a relationship with Him. And then that we should become a member of the fellowship of the local church, joining ourselves to the local church. That we should be devoted and committed to the fellowship. And lastly, to live the one another's of Scripture out in this fellowship. And today we're going to learn to live on mission by making disciples. Making disciples right here in Neely's Bend and Madison and even beyond Tennessee, the United States, and even globally, internationally. We live on mission so God can be glorified. We live on mission so we can equip people with the gospel, right? We live on mission so that way people can begin to worship God and live in worship of God. We live on mission so people can live in one another fellowship. We live on mission, ultimately, so more people can live on mission to make God's name known amongst the nations. As believers, we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to live on mission by making disciples. Now, I want to be clear here. When I say live on mission, I'm not primarily talking about like mission trips to other places or mission trips to international countries. I'm talking about you having a mission mindset in yourself that whenever you go to the grocery store, you're going there with a mission to hopefully ask someone, how can I pray for you? Or how can I share the gospel with you? When you're at your workplace or your job place, you're there on mission to have conversations with people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you're at family lunches, you're there on mission with a purpose of hoping to share the gospel with your family, making His name known. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are thousands of people here at Neely's Bend that doesn't know Jesus. And how will they hear the gospel? How will they believe in Jesus? By us living on mission and taking the gospel to them. So how do we live on mission? By making disciples. We're going to see three elements to living on mission. The first element to living on mission, well, I went one too far, is we are commanded to live on mission. We're commanded to live on mission. If we've already turned to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, but look with me here as we read this. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says this, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.'" In verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." We go back to verse 19 here. As we already know, this is the Great Commission, right? That Jesus has given to His disciples during that time, right before He ascended to heaven. This is the commission He gave to His disciples. And this Great Commission is still the same Great Commission that we are given even today as Jesus' disciples, Jesus' followers. As you can clearly see in this passage, Jesus says, "Go therefore." Go therefore. This phrase is clearly a command, right? If you tell someone to go, you're giving them a command. If I told someone to go and get something, I would be telling them a command to go and get it. So the first thing that we must recognize as believers is that we are commanded to go, therefore, and make disciples. It is not an optional thing that we should choose to do or we can choose to do. It is a responsibility of the believer that we must do. Just as we are commanded by God to love God and to love others, just as we are commanded to serve others and commanded to pray, we are commanded to go, therefore, and make disciples. But why are we commanded to go, therefore? Why is this a command for us? Because God has ultimately chosen us as instruments to declare His glory among the nations. He has chosen you, He has chosen me to declare His glory among the nations to those around us. He has chosen you to proclaim His gospel. I believe Romans 10, verses 13 through 15 gives us an answer as to why we are commanded to go therefore. Paul writes just prior to Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 14, that if one confesses with their mouth and believes in the heart that God raised Jesus, then they would be saved. And then he goes on in verse 13 and he says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" And then in verse 15, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Church, we are commanded to go therefore and make disciples because someone cannot believe what they have not heard. I don't know about you, but it's really hard to believe in something you've never heard of before. Just as me or you would have never believed the gospel if someone didn't tell us, so are those in our community who have never heard the gospel not going to believe the gospel because they've never heard it. They've never had someone share it with them. God uses us to proclaim His name, to preach His gospel to those around us so that they can hear the gospel and believe the gospel and confess Jesus as Savior and Lord. Church, the reality is we are all sent to preach the gospel. We're all called to preach the gospel. We're all commanded to go, therefore, and proclaim the gospel. Proclaiming it, preaching it, teaching it. It cannot be just left up to a few people. It is a command to all of us. And this may make you uncomfortable. This may be hard for you. This may be challenging for you. This may convict you. But I want you to know that it is possible for you to share the gospel with those around you. Because you have also been given the power to do so. Our second element here is that God has given us the power to live on mission. He's given us the power to live on mission by making disciples. If you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, "But you will receive power." Jesus is talking to His disciples here right before He ascends. It's the Great Commission of Acts, if that makes sense. And Jesus is saying, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This is Luke's version of the Great Commission. I've already said it's the same exact commission that was given to the disciples in Matthew chapter 28. However, Luke included a phrase that Matthew didn't. Luke says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In chapter 2 of Acts, we actually see the Holy Spirit come down from heaven and reside within those who are believers. And through the Holy Spirit, the believers ultimately had the power to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And even today, you who are believers have the very same Holy Spirit living inside of you. And you have the very same power that the disciples had to proclaim the gospel to those around them, to be witnesses to the end of the age, or at the end of the earth. I think oftentimes It isn't that we don't want to see people get saved, right? I would say if I asked you, do you want to see people believe the gospel and be saved? We would all shake our heads yes, right? Yes. If we don't, then there's something wrong. We need to backtrack a little bit. I think the problem is that we get nervous. We get scared. We get a little fearful. We are afraid that we may say something wrong and it may drive them farther away or something. And to be honest, I myself even have those same feelings sometimes. But we have to remember that we have power through the Holy Spirit to share the gospel. Through the Holy Spirit residing in us, we can overcome that nervousness. We can overcome the fear. We can overcome the wanting to be afraid of sharing the gospel. Of being afraid to share something wrong. I believe Romans chapter 1, verse 16 has something to teach us about this. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." One thing that we must remember in our evangelism, in our sharing of the gospel, we must remember that it is the power of God for salvation. It is the power of God for salvation. It is only by Him and His grace alone that one can be saved. So in our evangelism, in our sharing of the gospel, in us living on mission, we must remember that we are given the power to share the gospel, but it's God who convicts, it's God who draws, it's God who calls, it's God is the one who saves. This means something for us. We must never, ever assume that someone is too far gone to be saved. We must never, ever assume that even someone in this very church is saved. I'm guilty of this. I'm sure you're guilty of this. But sometimes I think we get it in our head that someone is too far gone to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Church, Paul was too far gone, right? We think about it. He was murdering Christians. But who changed his life? Who saved him? God did. It was God who changed all of our lives. And ultimately, the reality is we were all too far gone at one point. But God called us. He drawed us to Himself and we believed. He saved us. We have got to stop assuming that some people are too far gone to be saved. So we never stop proclaiming the gospel to that family member who you are beginning to wonder if they will ever believe or not. Never stop proclaiming the gospel to that coworker that you've had conversations with so many times over the years and they've never believed. Never stop proclaiming the gospel to that neighbor you've had that has chosen not to believe for so long. Never stop proclaiming the gospel to that friend that you have. And you're beginning to wonder if they're going to believe or not. Stay sharing the gospel with them. Keep sharing the gospel with them. Persevere, endure in sharing the gospel with them. Because it's God who saves. Charles Spurgeon says this. I think this is a great quote. "If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies." If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. Because we have consistently been sharing the gospel with those around us. Church, have no fear in your evangelism. Don't worry about what others will think or if they will even get offended. Because the reality is the gospel is meant to be offensive. How much more offended can they get already? I often think that sometimes we don't share the gospel with people because we're afraid that we will push them farther away, that we will offend them and they'll go farther away from believing. And just drive them farther away from Christ. Church, the reality is they are already as far away as they can be from Christ. And they can't get any farther. And if we don't share the gospel with them, then how will they ever hear of what Christ did for them? so they can draw near to Him and believe in Him. So church, don't fear sharing the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be afraid of sharing the gospel, because you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. We have seen that we are commanded to go therefore and evangelize. We've seen that we've been given the power through the Holy Spirit to go therefore and evangelize. And now at our third element, we live this out by being ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ live on mission. As believers, we are ambassadors for Christ that live on mission. If you will, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. If I can get there. It says this. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. In verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. From these verses, there's ultimately two things that I want to point out to you here. We have been given and entrusted with the ministry and message of reconciliation. If you go back to verse 18 here, and He gave us, see the very end of verse 18 there, and He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I don't want to hear anybody ever say that they don't have a ministry. Because the ministry that you do have is the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of sharing the gospel with those around you. If you go on to verse 19, He continues on, and the very bottom it says that He is entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. We've been entrusted with the message of reconciliation. Every believer in this room, I want you to know that you've been given and you've been entrusted with the message of reconciliation. God Himself, upon saving you, gave you and entrusted you with this message of reconciliation. It is your responsibility, it is my responsibility, to share the message of reconciliation to all those around us, to seek out opportunities to proclaim the gospel. You may be asking, well, what is this message of reconciliation? For one, that is reconciled, it means that they have been restored to a good relationship with God. For someone to be reconciled, it means they have been restored to a good relationship with God. Now, if you remember, unbelievers, they don't have a relationship with God, correct? They're separated. But believers, they have a relationship with God because their relationship has been reconciled. It's been restored. So what is this message of reconciliation? It is ultimately the gospel. The good news of salvation in which one can be reconciled back to God. The message of reconciliation is the gospel of Jesus. A few weeks back, I went through the gospel and just kind of laid it out. And I want to do that here again this morning. Some of you probably remember it. I hope that you remember it. But if you remember, the gospel is simply can be summed up in four words, right? God, man, Christ, response. God, man, Christ, response. God, He is the creator of everything that exists. He is all good. He is loving. He is holy. He is just. He is righteous. And one day, because He is loving, holy, just, and righteous, He will soon judge the world for their sins. He will have judgment against all sin, meaning that those who don't believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord will ultimately be judged and will have eternal punishment in hell. Then we have man. If you go back to creation, God created man on the sixth day, right? Adam and Eve, He created them, male and female. Man was created in the image of God, Adam being the first. Now, if we remember, in creation, God created a perfect world. There was no wrong. There was no sin. But Adam would sin when he disobeyed God. And this caused every man after that to be conceived in sin, meaning that they would be born in sin. And every single one of us will willfully rebel against God, willfully sin against God. We've all heard Romans 3:23, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We're all separated from God. We have no relationship with God. But Christ came, right? Christ came. He is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life so that He could be the perfect sacrifice. Through His death on the cross, He paid the price. He paid for the sins of all who would believe in Him. He was put in a tomb, and on the third day, He rose again, overcoming sin and overcoming death. It is through the works of Christ that one can be saved. It is through the works of Christ that one can be brought back into a relationship with God. And the fourth word, response. God requires a response. He requires a response from man. He requires man to acknowledge that they are one sinners, that they are separated from God. God requires man to repent of that sin. God requires man to believe in the works of Jesus and what He did for us. Man is required to respond to God by turning from sin, especially the sin of unbelief, turning to God in faith and following Him for the rest of their life. This is the gospel. This is the message of reconciliation. This is how one is reconciled to God, and this is what we are ambassadors for. This is the message that we take to those in the world, to those around us, to those in our spheres of influence. And maybe you're here this morning, and this is the first time you've ever heard this message, you've ever heard this gospel. And I want to encourage you that today is the day to respond. Respond in obedience to believing in Jesus, calling upon His name, confessing Him, recognizing that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And if that's you here today, when we have our time of at the end here, in the invitational, I want to encourage you to come and let's talk about you responding to Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. The second thing for us to know from this passage is that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. If we go back to verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us. God, or Paul uses such an incredible word here, calling us ambassadors. It's a word that everyone in the world can ultimately resonate with, right? We all know what an ambassador is. And if you don't know what an ambassador is, ultimately it's someone who represents an organization. For instance, whenever I was in high school, I was on the Phil Campbell High School Ambassadors team. And ultimately, we just represented the school at different local events or even school events. An ambassador is also an official representative of a certain country. In the U.S., we have ambassadors who go to foreign countries and they represent the United States on our behalf, right? As Christians, we are ambassadors of to the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Every single one of us here are ambassadors to that kingdom. And we are here to represent Christ everywhere we go. And as we go with the message of reconciliation. We go with the gospel. To kind of give you guys a brief story of what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. A few weeks ago, our Jeep needed to have the tires rotated. And so, Ashton scheduled an appointment at Discount Tires down the road here. And on that Monday, I took the Jeep, expecting to be there for just 20 or 30 minutes, because how long does it take to turn to rotate tires, right? I was there for about 2 hours. It was a lot of people that day. So as I'm sitting there, I'm actually sitting in the lobby, and I'm reading a book about evangelism. And there's this guy that's sitting beside me, and I began to become convicted as I was reading this book on evangelism that I needed to have a conversation with him. And so I just began to casually have a conversation with him. Hey, how's the day going? Well, what happened to your car? Why are you here? Where do you work at? Are you married? Do you have kids? You know, just asking simple questions. And just having some conversations with him. And as I said, I asked him where he worked at. And then, of course, in return, what does he do? Well, where do you work at? And so I'll say, I'm a pastor at Neely's Bend Baptist Church. And he's, okay, that's cool, you know. And sometimes people just shut off right there and they don't ever want to talk to you again. But this guy was still friendly enough to want to talk to me and have some conversations. And so I said, do you go to church anywhere? And he said, yeah, I go to a church in Madison. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And eventually, he finally told me about it. It's been a long time since he's been. And I was like, okay. And so I just responded simply with the gospel. Just say, hey, man, yeah, I know you said it's been a long time since you've been to church, but I want you to know that it's okay, that there's grace there. Because Jesus offers forgiveness and grace to you, and all you have to do is believe that. Just briefly shared the gospel with him. Did this guy become a believer, or was he a believer before? I'm not sure. Did he become a believer then? I'm not sure. But the point is, we share the gospel with those around us. Just simple, easy conversations with those that you're around throughout your day. In that conversation, I was an ambassador of Christ to that man. And I either planted a seed or I watered a seed. Being an ambassador of Christ is so much simpler than we think it is, right? It's so simple. I was in a place where God had put me, surrounded by people, and I just struck up a conversation with the guy next to me. I know that there are several of you here today that go places throughout your week as you're all the time around people. And all it is just a simple conversation strike up. And you talk to them about the gospel of Jesus. You can do this too. You can share the gospel because you have the power of the Holy Spirit and you have the message of reconciliation. You can do it too. You just have to be willing to let God work in your life. In our sermon today, we have seen three elements to live on mission. As believers, we are commanded to live on mission. Jesus gave His command to disciples to go therefore and make disciples. Living on mission isn't an optional thing for us to do. It is a command for us to do. As believers, we have been given the power to live on mission. The Holy Spirit resides in us as believers and has given us the power to be witnesses to those in Neely's Bend, Madison, and even beyond. As believers, we are also ambassadors for Christ that live on mission. We have been given the message of reconciliation. Let us take this message and represent the kingdom of God to all around us. Church, living on mission is crucial to the life of the church. And if we don't evangelize, if we don't share the gospel, as the quote I read at the very beginning, we will fossilize. Charles Spurgeon has another great quote on evangelism. He says this, "It is the whole business of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world." It is the whole business of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. Preaching the gospel to those in our community requires each and every single one of us in this church working together, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. As our mission statement says, equipping people with the gospel. Guys, I want you to know that I'm entirely grateful for all the good things that has happened within these walls of this church. The things that needed to happen in order for it to steward well the buildings that we have here. All the paint that we put on the walls, all the carpet that we've had, all the new floors that we've had put throughout the building. The new windows are great. But just because we did those things and have done those things doesn't mean that people are just going to walk through those doors back there. After all, can that paint share the gospel with somebody? Can the floors talk to somebody and share the gospel with them? Can this carpet share the gospel with somebody? They can't. But you know who can share the gospel with people? You can. We can. All of us can share the gospel with somebody. We live our life on mission by seeking out opportunities to share the gospel with those in our sphere of influence. And just so you know, in case you've never heard of the word of or the phrase sphere of influence, kind of give you an idea of exactly what I'm saying by that is we all have different spheres in our life, right? We have family. That's kind of a sphere. We're all around our family, our home, right? We have our workplace, or maybe for you it's not a workplace anymore, it's a place that you hang out or something like that. There's people around you, right? And maybe you have a third influence. Maybe it's a hobby or something like that that you enjoy doing. And through your hobby, you're around people. These are all different spheres of influence where you're able to meet people, have conversations with people, share the gospel with people. And so in those spheres of influence is where we should be ambassadors for Christ, taking the message of reconciliation to them. And if you find yourself not having a sphere of influence, I want to encourage you to try to find a place to involve yourself in. Find a chess club, a sewing club, a book club, any type of club that you can be involved in to get the opportunity to share the gospel with people. There's different ways that you can do this, and it's just a matter of you thinking through, how can I share the gospel with somebody? In way of wrapping up this sermon series through our mission statements, I would like to just look back at all the past sermons. The first sermon was that we exist to glorify God, right? We as a church, we exist. Neely's Bend Baptist Church exists to glorify God. And in this sermon, we learned that God is all glorious, right? God is all glorious. He is 100% glorious. And we also learned that man is created for God's glory, created to give Him glory. And then the third thing we learned in that sermon was that the church exists for the glory of God. We as a church, everything we do here should be to God's glory. In the second sermon, we learned that we exist to equip people with the gospel, right? We learned what the gospel was. God, man, Christ, response. We learned that we want to equip those outside our church, equip the unbelievers with the gospel so they can believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And we also learned that we want to equip those in our church within these walls here with the gospel so they can continue to grow in faith and spiritual maturity. In the third sermon, we learned that we live in worship of God. We live in a way that we worship Him. The reason that we glorify God, the reason we equip people with God, the reason that we live on mission by making disciples so people can begin to live in worship of God. And then from that point on, we live in praise of God, in worship of God. We worship Him with our lips by giving Him praise and saying thanks to Him, praying to Him, reading His Word, studying His Word. We live in worship of God by serving God and serving others in our community and those around us. In the fourth sermon, we learned that we live in one another fellowship. We learned that we first have to be a member of the fellowship, right? A member of the fellowship of God and Christ. A member of the local fellowship. And then we learned that we should be devoted and committed to that fellowship, being a part, actively involved, being engaged, serving the church, coming to worship, coming to Sunday school, being a part of the church. And then the last thing for one another fellowship was that we live the one another's of God's word out. We love one another, we serve one another, we exhort one another, we encourage one another, all those one another passages. And today we learned that we live on mission by making disciples here in Neely's Bend, Madison, and beyond. I want to close with this little picture here. It looks kind of blurry from here. Is it blurry for y'all too? Okay, let's go. So this kind of picture here kind of gives you an idea of what it is, right? So in the middle there's a newspaper, right? Because the gospel is what? Good news. So the gospel is good news, and because the gospel is good news, we then take that to people so they can go up, live and worship, right? And then if you follow the line down, because they now live and worship, they can now join themselves with a one another fellowship. And then as a fellowship, we then go and we go on mission by taking the gospel to those around us. And then as we live on mission and we make disciples, what happens? People begin to what? Live in worship of God. It's a never-ending circle. It's a never-ending circle. This is what we're called to do as a church. This is what we're called to do as Christians. Equipping people with the gospel, existing to glorify God. I hope this series of sermons has been good for you. I want to encourage you to continue to memorize the mission statement, continue to know it, continue to familiarize yourself with it. So that way, every one of us is on board and learning about and moving forward the same direction. As the throughout the church, I hope that you will find yourself stumbling across some of these pictures and some phrases of the mission statement. And when you see that, take the opportunity to read it, just so you can continue to familiarize yourself with it. And if you have missed a couple Sundays in the past, 5 sermons through this, I want to encourage you to go to our website and listen to those sermons that you've missed, because it's crucial that we're all on board, that we all know what this means, because it will help us move forward as a church. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the mission that you've given us here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church, the mission to glorify you, the mission to equip people with the gospel so we can live in worship, so we can live in one another fellowship, and we can live on mission. Lord God, I pray that you just help us to do this as a church, Lord. Lord God, I pray that you just lead us to that, Lord. Help us to be committed and convicted to do these things, Lord. Lord, I pray that everything that we do here at Neely's Bend will just revolve around this mission statement and glorifying you and equipping people with the gospel. Lord God, we thank you so much for today and just learning that we are commanded to live on mission, commanded to go therefore and make disciples, and to do that here in Neely's Bend, talking to our friends, talking to our neighbors, talking to our co-workers, Lord. Lord, I pray that you give us the strength to do that. Help us to remember that we have that power through the Holy Spirit that's residing in us to have those conversations with those people, Lord. God, we thank you so much for Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. We thank you for sending him to die, Lord, taking upon himself the sins of all who believe, raising him again in 3 days, Lord, overcoming sin and death. Lord God, I pray if there's someone here today that is thinking about this, Lord, that is considering making the decision to believe in you, Lord, that today is the day that they will respond to you, Lord. That they will respond and believe and confess your name. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.